set me free. Jesus' mission was to comfort those who mourn, bind up the brokenhearted, proclaim liberty to captives, and open prison doors for those who are bound. For those who want more than status quo Christianity has to offer, Blazing Grace Radio begins now. And here is your host, Mike Janung.
Hey, Mike Janung here, and welcome back to Blazing Grace Radio. Thank you for joining us on this day, and I have a couple announcements before we get too much further. So on May 30th, Saturday, from 10 a.m. to 3 p.m., we are holding one of our From Porn to Grace conferences here in Colorado Springs. That will be held at Springs Lighthouse Church at 4777 North Academy Boulevard in Colorado Springs, 80918. It's not far from Austin Bluffs and Academy. And what the conference is about is I go through, first I share a real in-depth version of my story, and I get into how porn and sexual sin affects the man, affects the wife. I talk about youth. I provide the path to healing and recovery for both. Get into the heart issues. So this is an in-depth time, and but it's not just 5 hours straight of me talking. I break people up into groups a couple of times because you're going to forget 90% of what I say. 10 people learn a lot, and it's also about equipping you, because that's what we're called to do in the church, is to make disciples and to equip God's people. And if you're listening and from your another state or from another country, I travel and I speak in churches in other countries. So, hey, send us an email. Let's see what we can set up and put together. I did a conference in England last year, and one of the guys who attended that conference is going to be calling in next week to do where I'm interviewing him. So, think about holding one. If you're part of leadership at a church, or approach your church in the day when 70% of Christian men and large numbers of youth and 30 to 40% of Christian women are struggling with pornography, this is a critical issue that we must equip people in. So, and then we have three retreats coming up this August and this September, and we hold them in Beulah, Colorado, which is a beautiful area set in the mountains, about a 6,000-foot elevation. And we have three separate retreats coming up, one for men, one for wives. And those two are in the end of August, third and fourth week. And then we have another retreat coming in September that is for couples. And those retreats run from Friday, usually around 5 o'clock, through Sunday morning. And it's a beautiful area. Saturday, you have the entire afternoon to spend alone with God and to hear from Him, to rest with Him. We get into recovery steps, spiritual warfare, healing, a lot of different things for, again, men, wives, and couples. So go to blazinggrace.org for the rates. The rates include two nights, facilities, and all meals. Beautiful area in Beulah, so consider that, especially if you're in needing help. It's like a basically like a weekend intensive, but really a lot of people encounter God in that Saturday afternoon, because you're alone out there in the mountains, and it's beautiful and away from all distractions. And I can't encourage you enough to come if you're in that place. So today, I'm going to give you three questions and then riff on them. So the first question is, who killed the prayer meeting? In many churches today, there are barely many churches don't have one prayer meeting, let alone any. Many of them don't. And that you can't line that up with Scripture. So to begin to set the framework for this, let's look at a few verses from the book of Acts to see how the early church handled prayer and to what extent prayer was a part of the early church. So beginning Acts 1:14, all these with one accord were devoting themselves to prayer together with the women and Mary, the mother of Jesus, and his brothers. So immediately after Jesus ascends into heaven after his crucifixion and resurrection, they jump right into prayer meetings. And scholars believe they spent 7 days straight in prayer meetings, and some think it's 9 days straight in prayer meetings. So the church, of course, the crucifixion and resurrection of Christ is the building, the cornerstone, but prayer is what got them started. And then they were anointed with the Holy Spirit, you know, the tongues of flame, and then Peter gives a message you can read in 5 minutes in the Bible in Acts 2. Think about that. 5 minutes and 3,000 people come to Christ. What's going on there? They had a week's worth of prayer meetings behind that. We do our weekly 45-minute sermon, and we don't have anything like that. So prayer again. And then Acts 2:42, and they devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching and fellowship, to breaking of bread, that's communion, and prayer. So devoted, that doesn't mean a 2-minute God bless our service type of prayer Sunday morning. And it doesn't mean a 5-minute, hey God bless my day prayer. That means all in. Acts 3:1, now Peter and John were going up to the temple at the hour of prayer. They had an hour of prayer, a time of prayer designated. That was the ninth hour. Acts 4:29-31, beginning at verse 29. And now, Lord, look upon their threats. This was after Peter and John were told by the Pharisees not to preach in the name of Jesus. And grant to your servants to continue to speak your word with all boldness, while you stretch out your hand to heal, and signs and wonders are performed through the name of your holy servant Jesus. And when they had prayed, the place in which they were gathered together was shaken, and they were all filled with the Holy Spirit and continued to speak the word of God with boldness. I mean, what causes the walls to shake in a lot of our modern churches isn't prayer. It's the rockin' loud worship band where the walls are shaking because of the volume. They didn't have any speaker systems there. They didn't have buildings, a lot of them. They didn't have Bibles. They had the Torah, but the early church, again, prayer, that's where the power comes from. Acts 12:1-5. About that time, Herod the king laid violent hands on some who belonged to the church. He killed James, the brother of John, with the sword. And we saw that it pleased the Jews. He proceeded to arrest Peter also. This was during the days of unleavened bread. And when he had seized him, he put him in prison, delivering him over to 4 squads of soldiers to guard him, intending after the Passover to bring him out to the people. So Peter was kept in prison, but earnest prayer for him was made to God by the church. They're having ongoing, fervent, passionate prayer meetings. And then a few verses later, Acts 12:12, after Peter was miraculously busted loose by an angel in prison, he went to the house of Mary. This is Acts 12:12, the mother of John, whose other name was Mark, where many were gathered together and were praying. Prayer meetings work miracles. The reason why so many of our churches are powerless is because they're prayerless. And then next one, Acts 16:16-18. At the very beginning, it says, as we were going to the place of prayer. And then they tell the story. We were met by a slave girl who had a spirit of divination and brought her owners much gain by fortune telling. And I won't get into all that, but again, they are on their way to a prayer meeting. Colossians 4:2 says, be devoted to prayer. So my friends, as you think about these verses, does your church look like this with constant prayer meetings? And my friends, does your life look like this with constant prayer meetings? Do you attend at least one prayer meeting a week? This is why we've lost so much. This is why the outside world just stampedes the church. And yeah, we need the teaching. Yeah, we need the fellowship. But, you know, James 5, Elijah was a man like this. One man prayed and the rain stopped. One man praying. Go read the book of Psalms. It's basically a big prayer book. I love that book. So who killed the prayer meeting? Well, you can go to a lot of different answers for this. This is just the way we always do church. The church has evolved today where we do the loud worship band and then we do, the message. But prayer has been evicted from a lot of churches and this is a big mistake. So I want to challenge you. Attend at least one prayer meeting every week. And if you don't have one at your church, go there and say, hey, we need to start this up. Do not let prayer slip in your life. Make it right there at the top of your priorities. Next question. Why are we talking consistently about sex, porn, masturbation, and promiscuity often when so many people are struggling with it? So this is the results of a few surveys here. This is from an article, Porn Use Among Christians Reaches an All-Time High. They quote that more than 70% of Christian men and 40% of Christian women are viewing porn. And this is from a Barna 2024 survey. Next, 2022, I talked to a pastor of a church of 1,000 in Arizona, senior pastor. And he told me that 80% of the men who attended their men's retreat confessed to a current struggle with pornography, 80%. And you have to realize the guys who didn't come are probably more isolated than those who came, meaning those numbers are going to be holding steady. After the outbreak of COVID-19 in 2020, Pornhub, the largest porn site in the world, reported that their worldwide traffic skyrocketed by 25%. And there are a lot of Christians in that 25%. We interviewed a counseling pastor of a large church of 5,000 a couple years ago, and he told me that every marriage that came to him for help had pornography involved. 73% of teens that consume porn and 87% of young men watch porn weekly. This is from a Christianity Today article, November of 2025, not too long ago. The global adult entertainment industry is estimated at $76 billion. With current growth rates, that number is expected to reach $118 billion by 2030. Half of U.S. Christians say casual sex between consenting adults is sometimes or always acceptable. This was Pew Research. I wanted to puke when I read that. How in the heck we have that many believers saying no problem with sex outside of marriage, no problem with shacking up, no problem with dating an unbeliever. And this is what happens when we do not address these issues consistently and clearly. OnlyFans, their 2024 revenue was $7.9 billion in 2024. That was up from $6.3 billion in 2023. 25% of young adults believe AI girlfriends and boyfriends have the potential to replace human relationships. This is the Institute for Family Studies. And Google Trends has shown for years that the states with the highest populations of evangelicals have the most searches for sex-related terms, meaning that the church is one of the porn industry's biggest customers. So how can we not talk openly about these issues consistently when so many are struggling? But hey, don't take my word for it. I'm going to go to Revelation 2. Let's hear what Jesus says to a church that ignored sexual sin right in their midst. So Revelation 2, 19 to 23, where he says, I know your works, your love and faith and service and patient endurance, and that your latter works exceed the first. So they're doing a lot of good works. They're in ministry. They're making a difference. But I have this against you. You tolerate that woman Jezebel, who calls herself a prophetess and is teaching and seducing my servants to practice sexual immorality and to eat food sacrificed to idols. In today's modern terms, that's just like saying you tolerate sexual sin in your midst. You tolerate adultery in your midst and promiscuity in your midst. You tolerate people being addicted to porn at every single level of the church. And then the frightening words here, I gave her time to repent, but she refuses to repent of her sexuality. Jesus is kind and full of grace and mercy, and he gives us time to repent. I remember the verse in Revelation, I stand at the door and knock. But what we don't often hear is that there is a last knock. There is a time when, like he says here, I gave her time to repent, up, time's up. And now you're going to face the consequences. And he says, behold, I will throw her onto a sick bed, and those who commit adultery with her. Who is that? That's the people who are playing with sexual sin today. And you know what? There are many who are in sexual sin, and they're dying inside. They want help. They want the way out. They don't just want a once every 3 year verse by verse message on sexual issues that barely grazes the surface. They want help. They want to know the way out. Behold, I will throw her on a sick bed, and those who commit adultery with her, I will throw into great tribulation unless they repent of her works. Great tribulation. In 1 Corinthians 5, Paul was confronting the church over the sexual sin of one man, and what did he say? He handed the guy over to Satan. I mean, there's some pretty severe consequences for sexual sin. We cannot play with this stuff. So back to my original question, why are we talking about sex, porn, masturbation, and promiscuity? Often, this is a moral crisis. And then he continues, and I will strike her children dead, and all the churches will know that I am he who searches the mind and the heart, and I will give to each of you according to your works. He is not playing games here. Man, we have to warn people. You can't play games with this stuff. It will destroy your life. Why are we not talking about this consistently? When we hear those surveys, those numbers that keep coming out month after month, year after year, and they're not getting better or smaller. And then, you know, people talk about wanting a spiritual awakening or a revival. How the heck can you have a revival when we won't face our sin? Because revivals happen when people are broken over their sin, which brings me to the third question in this broadcast, which is, do we really want a spiritual awakening? Do we really want a revival? And what if I told you that every church could have one within 40 days? Would you believe me? I'm going to read from Jonah 3. This is after Jonah got puked out of the fish after he ran from God. The first time, And here it is, Jonah 3. Then the word of the Lord came to Jonah the second time, saying, arise, go to Nineveh, that great city, and call out against it the message I tell you. So Jonah arose and went to Nineveh according to the word of the Lord. Now, Nineveh was an exceedingly great city and 3 days' journey in breadth. Jonah began to go into the city, going a day's journey, and he called out, yet 40 days, and Nineveh shall be overthrown. There's no God loves you and has a wonderful plan for your life here. There's no grace and mercy for you here. It's like, you got 40 days or you're done. And the people of Nineveh believed God. They believed they were in trouble. They called for a fast and put on sackcloth from the greatest of them to the least. And the word reached the king of Nineveh, and he arose from his throne, removed his robe, covered himself with sackcloth, sat in ashes. Can you imagine our government leaders doing this? That's called humility. These days we live in a time of reckless arrogance that leaks out from the top. And he issued a proclamation. This is the king of Nineveh, and published throughout Nineveh, by the decree of the king and his nobles, let neither man nor beast, herd nor flock, taste anything. Let them not feed or drink water. Let man and beast be covered with sackcloth, and let them call out mightily to God, prayer. Let everyone turn from his evil way and from the violence that is in his hands. Who knows? God may turn and relent and turn from his fierce anger so that we may not perish. And when God saw what they did, how they turned from their evil way, God relented of the disaster that he had said he would do to them, and he did not do it. Think about this for a moment, my friends. They had no churches, no Bibles, no pastors, no Christian books, no YouTube videos, no big churches with, you know, the rock and worship band, the big buildings or any of that. They had none of it. They were anti-Israel, anti-Jew, and they trashed God's people. They had none of this. And one guy walks in saying, 40 days and you're done. And what do they do? What are the two big things they did? Was they confessed and turned from sin, and they cried out to God mightily. That unbeliever king said, do we cry out mightily to God, or are we a little bit too sophisticated for that in our modern churches? And this is a big part of our problem. We rely way too much on knowledge. And what does the Bible say? But be doers of the word, not merely hearers who delude themselves. So if you want a spiritual awakening in your church, it's simple. God showed us what to do. Devote the next 6 weeks, 6 Sundays to nothing but prayer and confession of sin. That's it. And you will see a King Kong-sized spiritual awakening if your heart's in the right place. Because you can just show up and say, hey, okay, yeah, I struggle with being a mean person or whatever. And if your heart's not in it, just don't waste your time. Don't show up. But if you understand that we are bankrupt, the U.S. is bankrupt financially. We have a near $40 trillion debt, which mirrors our multi-trillion dollars in debt and in moral debt, which is way above that, I'm sure, in God's eyes. We are bankrupt. We are in serious trouble, but nobody talks like this. We should be on our knees crying out to God like the Assyrians, the Ninevites were. This is what we need right now. We need people pulling out the stops and saying, God, have mercy on us. God, help us. We have sinned. Go read the prayer in Daniel 9 and how he prayed. That's a wonderful prayer. God, to our shame, we have done these things. But that's not a happy thought, saying to our shame. To our shame, the church is soaked with sexual sin. To our shame, the U.S. is the number one consumer of porn in the world. To our shame, we are doing little to nothing about it. We got to get on our knees. It doesn't take a theology degree to figure this out. Prayer and repentance. That's where our focus should be. Don't just talk about it. Do it. Put it into practice. God, we need you. God, have mercy on us. God, convict us of our sin. So go to the Real Christian website. I've written a lot on prayer on that. So, my friends, we can't play games with this. So thank you for joining me, my friends, and we'll see you next time. Do you want to be free?
Blazing Grace is a nonprofit international ministry for the sexually broken and the spouse. Please visit us at blazinggrace.org for information on Mike Janung's books, groups, counseling, or to have Mike speak at your organization. You can email us at email@blazinggrace.org or call our office at 719-888-5144. Again, visit us at blazinggrace.org. Email us at email@blazinggrace.org or call the office at 719-888-5144.